Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Mark chapter 9 and starting with verse 31. For he taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day. But they did not understand this saying, and were afraid to ask him. Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Last of all and servant of all. This message this morning is entitled, There's No One Like Him. There's no one like him. And even though others may disagree with our view concerning Jesus Christ as our Savior, we Christians will still declare there's no one like him in the world. Amen. No one like him in the world. Having said that, you and I must decide if we're going to take Jesus' call to discipleship and if we're going to take it seriously. Please consider this 35th verse that we just read in Mark 9. It says, and he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. So we ask, what is the meaning of if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all? Well, the translation of that verse taken from the message says it like this. So you want first place, then take last place. Be the servant of all. Listen to a similar verse in Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. It says this. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus is warning us that anyone who chooses to become his disciple will pay a price. Saints, discipleship will cost you. It will cost you. Many times pastors have recalled the ancient legend that when Jesus arrived back in heaven, the angel Gabriel asked what plans he had made for his work to continue. Jesus replied that he'd left it all in the hands of the disciples. Gabriel said, what if they fail? Jesus said, I have no other plans. Now, that's just a legend. But Jesus expected his disciples to continue with what he had begun. He entrusted the entire future to them. And remember, the purpose of Jesus' ministry was to renew, to redeem, to save the world through his sacrificial love. Amen? The disciples were expected to follow him in compassionate ministry. They were expected to follow him in compassionate ministry. And Jesus has that same expectation of his disciples in 2021.
Yes, amen.
We've seen some of that today. Response to things. Such work, however, might take us where we don't want to go, put us with people with whom we're not comfortable, and require tasks that we wouldn't choose on our own. A war correspondent paused in a war zone to watch a nun as she unwrapped a wounded soldier's leg. Gangrene had set in. The stench was so repulsive, he turned away and mumbled under his breath, "I wouldn't do that for $1 million." She glanced up and said, "Neither would I." But because of who she was, he knew she was doing it for someone beside herself. For those who follow after Jesus, their battle cry should be, deny self, take up your cross, and follow me. I read somewhere where the entrance fee to the Christian life is nothing at all, but the annual subscription is everything you have. It fits well with what one of my Bible school teachers had said. He said, our life with God will sweep us off our feet. You cannot tell where it will take you. Those who have known God have been stoned, and sawn asunder, and tempted, and slain with the sword. They have been in prison and at stakes. Then he added, life with God may make us feel like life is out of control, but there's something other than our personal will that controls us. Paul felt that way about Jesus. In Galatians 2:20, he proclaimed, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The writer of Hebrews said in chapter 10, verse 31, he said, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And Paul began many of his letters with the words, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus. No, life with God is not easy. The entire challenge of the Christian life is that it can pull us in many directions. I remember the story of a woman who tried very hard to live a Christian life. She was truly sincere about it, and her story was quite similar to many others. She was saved, but felt as if her works and her behavior were at least partially responsible for her salvation experience. Obviously, this lady never totally grasped the good news of God's grace, God's love manifested within her. Romans 3:24 in the New Living Translation declares this, yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. And folks, what a comforting thought it is to know that God's grace was providing salvation for each of us long before we were even aware of it.
Yes. Yes.
Amen?
Yes. Amen.
The message of that verse I just read puts it this way. Out of sheer generosity, he put us in right standing with himself.
Praise God.
A pure gift. He got us out of the mess we're in and restored us to where he always wanted us to be, and he did it by the means of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
This woman was not alone in her misunderstanding, because many people have never trusted Jesus completely with their salvation. Now, this lady's husband was not a Christian, and he had no interest in being one. He preferred going to the bars or parties and being with the friends that he could make there. So she asked for Christian counseling about what to do. The husband strongly objected to her even going to church, and finally accused her of not wanting to be with him at all, especially at the bars and parties. Finally, the wife succumbed to the harassment and decided to go and be with him. That choice created a little fork in the road for her. No, actually, a big fork in the road. When she came to that fork in the road, was it a wise decision? Contemplate this for a minute. Are your daily choices important? How much influence do they have upon our journey in life? Jesus once used the illustration of a builder who counts the cost before constructing something, so he doesn't deplete all of his funds before the project's done. That's in Luke 14, verse 28, and it says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it?" Jesus was charging his listeners to count the cost of being a disciple. Count the cost of being a disciple, so their life of devotion wouldn't end up abandoned and a discredit to the kingdom of God. To take up the cross and follow our Savior means no more and no less than determining that you must die to your old ways, giving up your present life as you know it. In John chapter 15, verse 13, Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends." The contemporary English version of that same verse says, "The greatest way to show love for friends is to die for them." During the January 2nd, 2007 lunch hour, a man named Wesley Autry was waiting for a train at the 137th Street City College subway station in New York City with his two young daughters. At around 12:45 p.m., he and two women noticed that a young man, one Cameron Hulopeter, a Film Academy student, was having a seizure, and he fell onto the tracks. As Cameron lay there, Autry saw the lights of the oncoming subway train. One of the women held Autry's daughters back away from the edge of the platform as Autry dove onto the tracks. He thought he would be able to take Cameron off of the tracks, but realized there was not enough time. Instead, he threw himself over Cameron's body in a drainage ditch between the tracks, holding him down in the murky, filthy water away from the high-voltage third rail. The train operator applied the brakes, but two cars still passed over them. There was less than 2 inches to spare between them and the train overhead. It even left grease on Wesley's cap. It took almost 40 minutes before rescuers got him out. Cameron was getting a little antsy and said, "Are we dead? Are we in heaven?" Wesley said, "No, we're underneath a train." Cameron kept asking again and again until Wesley gave him a pinch and said, "Dude, you're very much alive." In an interview, Wesley later said, "You know, I'm glad I did what I did, and I wouldn't change that day. I'm still always about helping people." He said, "I could have taken this to a whole different level." And he was talking about the notoriety he received. "I could have taken this to a whole different level and become an actor or a singer or something. But I think God has a calling for me." Wesley Autry not only was willing to lay down his life for a friend, but in this case, it was a total stranger. Wesley was later honored by Mayor Bloomberg, who called him the subway hero. And he received numerous honors and gifts, plus his two daughters were given college scholarships. Amen. 3 weeks after the rescue, he was invited to the nation's capital and recognized by President George W. Bush in a 2007 State of the Union address. Obviously, we realize that we have a tremendous responsibility when Jesus says, "Lay down your life." Here's words in Mark 8:35. It says, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." And folks, that's the big question. That's the big question. Is it the power of God's love so alive in you that you're willing to lose your life so that you might gain it? Yes. Or do you make compromises with the Lord saying, "Yes, I'll be your disciple tomorrow, but I'm too busy or not quite prepared today"? That is a question each and every Christian must answer for themselves. Near the end of the Second World War, a young German Lutheran pastor, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, sat alone in the darkness of a prison cell in one of Hitler's concentration camps. Some 12 years before, he realized that Hitler was an evil force, totally in opposition to what to the good that's represented by Jesus Christ. He became an early resistor of the Nazi movement and spoke out vehemently against Hitler's oppressive misuse of power and his corruption of German society, especially in undermining of the churches by making Christians complicit with the Nazi regime. Yes, the majority of German Christians in the 1930s had bought into Hitler's takeover. Because of his connections, Bonhoeffer was offered the safety of a teaching position in America, but instead he chose to return to his home country to oppose Hitler. In his writing of When Christ Calls, Bonhoeffer bids us to come and die, and he meant it. He lived out his belief, standing firm, unwavering for his faith. Bonhoeffer was later accused of being associated with the plot to assassinate Hitler and was arrested and tried. As a faithful disciple of Christ, while the Nazi regime was collapsing, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was hanged on April 9, 1945, in the Flossenbürg concentration camp, only 2 weeks before the soldiers of the United States 90th and 97th Infantry Divisions liberated the camp. Never flinching in the face of danger, he became a genuine 20th century Christian martyr. This man believed either you are a Christian or you are a Nazi. You could not be both. There was no alternative but resistance. No alternative but resistance. Can we, all things considered, devoutly wrap our minds, our hearts around this understanding? Not everyone is called to be to a martyrdom like Bonhoeffer. While there are thousands, if not millions, of martyrs, there remain a minority. As we speak, there are countless martyrs in Africa, in China, in Russia, in the Mideast, and many other places around our world. People who stand for their faith under great oppression face the possibility of martyrdom every day. Let's be honest. Most of us will not be included in that list of martyrs, or would ever want to be. Can we confess that? Yeah. Amen? History tells of thousands of martyrs over the centuries. Here's just a short list. Stephen, the Christian martyr in 34 AD. His story is told in the book of Acts. Thomas Becket in 1170. Jan Hus was burned at the stake in 1415. Joan of Arc in 1431. Thomas More in 1535. Maximilian Kolbe, Catholic priest, martyred in the Nazi concentration camp at Auschwitz in 1941. The gallery of 20th century martyrs at Westminster Abbey shows Mother Elizabeth of Russia, violently killed in 1918 by the communist government. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., assassinated in 1968. Archbishop Oscar Romero of San Salvador, assassinated in 1980. And Pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer in 1945. For those willing to trust our Savior, choosing to follow Him steadfastly, paying the price, there's a promise. Faith in Christ will see us through our suffering. Yes. Faith in Christ will see us through our suffering. Yes. Bonhoeffer took that belief, central to his Lutheran-based Christian faith, so seriously that it cost him his life. For him, Mark 8:4 was a commandment to be followed without reservation. It says, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And Bonhoeffer also knew deep within himself the peace that only comes through such a commitment. Listen to Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Amen. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Verse 4, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that was given to us. In his book, The Cost of Discipleship, Bonhoeffer reminded us that being a true follower of Jesus Christ will cost us everything, even our life. One of the challenging discipleship hymns of the past asked these words, are ye able, said the Master, to be crucified with me? Yes, the sturdy dreamers answered, to the death we follow thee. Lord, we are able. Our spirits are thine. Remold them, make us like thee, divine. How many here this morning are struggling in their Christian walk? Maybe you're on the verge of giving up. Perhaps you think the cost is too high. When discouragement sets in, the Bible teaches us to lift up the hands that hang down. Yes. Lift up the hands that hang down. Author and writer Ann Cetus tells us this story. She said a friend was looking for a church to join and told me she had found just what she was looking for. I like this church because I don't have to change my lifestyle of partying. It doesn't make me feel guilty or require anything of me. I feel good about myself when I'm there. Miss Cetus said her story makes me wonder how many people are in that condition. Their Christianity is what author W. Waldo Beach calls a pleasant weekend diversion. She goes on to say, but is that the kind of life Jesus calls us to? Beach says, no amount of air conditioning and pew cushioning in a suburban church can cover over the hard truth that discipleship is costly. Yeah. That for the faithful, there is always a cross to be carried. Yeah. No one can understand Christianity to its depth who comes to it to enjoy it as a pleasant weekend diversion. Then Ann Cetus comments, being a Christian means that we know Jesus personally. We have received Him by faith as our Savior from sin, and we present ourselves to Him. We deny our will and choose His instead. He transforms our thinking, our values, and our priorities to reflect what is acceptable to God. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So saints, ask yourself, is my religion just a pleasant weekend diversion? That can never be a substitute for a vital relationship with Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus must be in the center of your heart, in the center of your mind, in the center of your life, in the center of your world. Only then can you sincerely lay down your life for a friend. Mm. Remember, there's no one like him.
Amen.
There's no one like him.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for today.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for today. There's a little chorus I sang when we were kids in Sunday school. I want us to sing it before we close. You'll remember it, I'm sure, if you have any history in the church. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Come on, everybody, let's stand. Now, these words are very simple. Give me oil in my lamp. We need the Holy Spirit inside of us. I'm so proud of the Lord this morning. She come in and asked to be anointed and prayed for before she led worship. We need the oil of the Holy Spirit within us. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day.
Yes.
Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. What a great song to sing tomorrow. When you're away from your brothers and sisters and you're out in this old world,
yeah,
and you see the world for all that it is,
sing,
and you just sing, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. There's a verse that we used to put in there, something about trucking for the Lord. I don't remember the word, so I'm afraid to start off on anything. Hey, this was great today.
Yes, amen.
Great church service.
Thank you.
Amen.
Bless the Lord.
Thank you.
Two birthdays this week. Zachary Perrett on the 6th Friday, and Loretta Maxwell. Loretta's one of our shut-ins on the 6th on Friday also. And one anniversary, Norm Senior and Pearl on Friday the 6th also. So all three of those things are on Friday. Amen. Our offering today is for missions, and please be generous to them. Men's meeting tonight, and of course prayer meeting Wednesday. Remember your t-shirts. If you haven't picked them up, please remember your t-shirts out here, and we can finish that up. And thank you for participating today. Thank you. And Sister Polly, you okay?
Thank you, Paul.
Lord Jesus, we just praise your name. We just praise your name. Lord, there's so many things in our life we just need you to turn it around.
Thank you.
Turn it around, God. Thank you for that. Lord, be with us this week in a special way. Be with us in a very special way. Activate the Holy Spirit in us when we see something that we need to be involved in, whether by prayer or actual connection to somebody. But Lord, there's going to be things that come our way.
Yes.
Lord, help us. Where we're weak, make us strong, Lord.
Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, thank you for taking us where we were when we came this morning to where you wanted us to be as we leave. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love y'all.